Well, good evening, everybody.
Good evening.
I trust you're all well. Your mic's still on, but that was a very nice good evening. So I guess I can blame Jesse for that, but it's good to see you all. There's a lot been happening. A lot. You know, I was getting ready for church. Do I have time to change my trousers? And I thought, wow. I'm going to wear a tie so I can fit the mic on it, and a tie covers a multitude of sins, and they can't. And so I'm walking in, Brother Jesse, dear brother that he is. He's like, Derek, there's something on your pants there. It's like, well, hopefully you didn't come this evening to see how sharp I was dressing, how good my pants are. I keep them hiding behind here. Hopefully we come this evening to worship God. We've done that, to ask his blessing on the word, and to learn a little bit, and to bring out some treasures, old and new, and some things to encourage us along the way. So we are going to continue our Bible study on great women of the Bible. And we're going to go to 1 Kings chapter 17. And we are going to look at something that is, well, we know the story, and you can stand if you want to. Just going to pick one verse that really struck me on this, and then we'll just pray, and we'll just see where the Lord leads, and we'll trust in him this evening more than ever before. So we'll read verse 9, which says, "Arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee." Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we pray that you'd add your blessing to this word, add your blessing to this evening. Speak through such lips as mine, such ears as ours, and be with us. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may take your seats. Well, you know, it's been an interesting time. And not only have we got Josiah and Michael staying with us in the past couple of weeks, Tiffany woke up in the middle of the night and she threw up, and then we took Shekinah to be with another foster parent whose house is set up for the special needs. Very, very nice woman. She's there with her brother Samuel, so they're together. I was telling her about what was going on, and I could see Samuel inside just patting Shekinah's hair, so it's nice that they're together. And that evening it was relaxed, because normally I had to wait up with Shekinah for till 11 or 11:30 till she finally went to sleep. And so relaxed, talking to Rachel, and then it's like, oh, someone's throwing up in the other room. Poor Luke had a tummy upset and he threw it. So it's just been one thing after another. But Tiffany, you know how God says, out of the mouth of babes, the lessons that we can learn from our children. Poor Tiffany. She had a sleepover with her cousin, Ella. Middle of the night, she got up, she had an upset stomach. She was coughing, and you know how coughing sounds like you're going to throw up. And I heard it, and Rachel was up, and I grabbed her, and I took her over to the toilet, but we weren't quick enough, and she threw up all over the bathroom floor, and she threw up on herself, and we took her dress off, and bits of, well, you know what I mean, little bits of vomit were going everywhere, and poor Tiffany, she was so upset, she was crying. She said, "I want to be clean." Like, okay, Do you remember that, Tiffany? Yeah, it wasn't very nice, was it? And Daddy knows just what to do. So, you know, get a cleaner up and bedded down and laid her down in my bed and spent the night on the floor beside her. And so it's, but I got to thinking about that. It's like, when we get tired, when we get sick, and when we, if we can realize, sometimes we go into things and we're eating the wrong food, watching YouTube too much and putting our mind on the wrong things and just sin sick. If we can realize that and just be like Tiffany, oh, Daddy, I want to be clean. I'm all dirty. I'm tired. I don't have the ability to clean myself. Would you clean me, Lord? And I thought, that's quite something to, that spoke to me. It's like maybe we take too much on ourselves where we say, oh, I can handle this situation. Where we should be saying, Lord, just wash me, Lord. So, and then I was privileged enough to go up and see Brother Greg a couple of nights ago. And as I went in, I got a very stern warning from Sister Karen. Don't let him talk too much. Which is good for me because, you know, there are people that need to be encouraged to talk. And there are people that need to be encouraged to be quiet. Now, of those two, I'm probably more one that needs to be encouraged to be quiet. So I came and I said, you're just going to have to listen to me talk to you now, Brother Greg. And every time he started to say something, I was like, no, text me. So, but it was really encouraging to see him. It was encouraging to see how he's doing. Very well in himself. But pray for him, for the recovery, for Sister Karen, for energy and strength, and for the family. As I was driving out, Natalie was driving in. I'm sure she's like, what's going on here? I don't recognize those headlights. But we're all going through a time. And then you heard about the shooting down in Fort Stewart. So I heard about it on Signal first because I was working. I looked it up and I was like, 2nd Armored Battalion. It's like, that's Elisha's unit. And so it happened very close to where his unit stationed. And he says he's aware, or he knew. He doesn't know everything, but he knows some of the people that were involved. So, like, well, things are happening, but God's in control. And that kind of goes into this a little bit. Think about this as we start. We're going to start in verse 1. And Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, as the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. And the word of the Lord came to him, saying, get thee hence, and turn thee eastward, and hide thyself by the brook Cherith that is before Jordan. And it shall be that thou shalt eat drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. So God commanded the ravens. How did he command them? We don't know. How did Elijah, you know, did he ask them what he wanted, or did they just bring? We don't know. But I want to think of this thought tonight, especially for this widow woman, where God says, I have commanded. And the question is, what has God commanded you to do? And how do you actually understand that this is a commandment of God? And how do you carry out that commandment of God? So there's a whole lot that we'll get into tonight. And it's not even all that could be drawn from this, but just a little lesson here. So it came to pass, and the ravens brought him... verse 5. So he went and did according to the word of the Lord, for he went and dwelt by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. And the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning and bread and flesh in the evening, and he drank of the brook. And it came to pass after a while that the brook dried up because there had been no rain in the land. And the word of the Lord came to him, saying, arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. So God's word and God's commandment had gone out, but we've got no indication that the widow woman heard the commandment of God. How did God command that woman? How did that woman receive that commandment? We have no idea. We may have a few clues as we carry on reading. But the question now I want to ask you is, as this story unfolds, what has God commanded you to do? In the most unlikely way, through situations that come in front of you, what's his commandment to you to provide for the needs of others? And so he arose, and he went to Zarephath. Now, this is a city. It's about 20, 25 miles north of the north border of Israel. Okay, so it's outside of the land of Israel. Now, I believe it's inside the promised land of Israel, but the land of Israel that was promised, where they said, here is the borders of Asher and here's the borders of Simeon, and that was reduced. So, for example, the Philistines lived in land that was promised to Israel, and they never got kicked out. And it's interesting that Gaza Strip is still in that area of Philistine, and indeed Palestine is because of the Philistines. Okay, that name. So it's really interesting looking at the geography, and it's really interesting examining that in our lives, because we are promised to live in the fullness of the land, but while we're dwelling on this earth, we fall short. And there may be areas that the enemy has conquered that you can never occupy because they won't be yours until we get into the new heaven, the body change. Okay? But there's still places of refuge in those areas. So basically, God told Elijah, go to the land of the Gentiles. Go out of the promised land. Go out of the place of God's provision. That's really interesting, and it speaks a lot. Remember when we were talking about Ruth and David and those things? It's like God has always brought in the Gentiles into his kingdom. And so don't despise people for being of a, I'm not going to say of another race, because I don't believe we're talking about our perception of an actual race as in skin color, race as in where people have come from. But think of it, don't despise people who are in denominations. Don't despise people who are in the world. God is moving on them as well, and God may have commanded them and given them a way of salvation. God has given them a way of salvation, I'll say it that way. Okay, God loves life and he will save as many as he can by whatever way he can. And so think outside of the boundaries of the settled land of Israel. And Jesus said that, prophet is not without honor, except in his own country. There were many widows. There were many starving in Israel at the time when the heavens were closed. And none of them had the provision that this woman had. And so he arose and went to Zarephath, and when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there gathering of sticks. And he called to her and said, fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink. And as she was going, he called to her and said, bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thy hand. Okay. And so now this is interesting, because it's like, where do we help people and where do we draw the line? It's a time of famine. It's a time of drought. Bring me a little water. You're a stranger. I'll bring you a little water. and bring me something to eat. Now there's a different boundary, a different demand on that, because it's impacting where she's at the moment and asking her to overextend herself beyond her natural ability. But there's something in this that we can see in verse 12. And she said, as the Lord thy God liveth. Okay. And that Lord is capital L-O-R-D. So as Jehovah, your God, lives, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal in the barrel and a little oil in the cruse. And behold, I'm gathering two sticks that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die. So there's an awareness of God in her life. She knows the name of Jehovah. She recognizes this man is a servant of Jehovah, but she doesn't claim that God for herself. But out of respect for that, okay, she says, you've asked for water, I'll give it, but you asked for bread. What do you want me to do? To give you everything I have? I'm about to perish. And Elijah said unto her, fear not, go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a cake first and bring it unto me, and after make for thee and thy son. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. Faith. And now the commandment of God had gone out and said, I've commanded a widow woman to feed you. And he didn't come to her and said, God has commanded me. He just said, I'm asking you. And here's the prophecy that he gave. And something in that, you know how it says the word of God will not return void. It'll always send out that which it'll accomplish that which it's sent to do. And the word of God in your life, you have many words that are spoken over you that the word of God has given to you. But you don't know hardly any of them. And God had spoken that of her, I have commanded, which meant God had commanded her. That word had gone forth, but she knew nothing about it until she got into the situation where there was something in what Elijah said to her that hooked into the word of God that had been spoken about her and said, this is right, this is true, this is my time to do this. Because she could have just as easily have said, oh, what do you mean, you crazy person? Bread, wheat is going to magically appear? No. But there was something in there because the word of God had come out, the prophet had come out, and the word in the earth had met the word in heaven at that juncture in time. She had the faith, because it was spoken of her, to recognize and to hook into the heavenly word because of the earthly word that was spoken. You understand? Okay. How can they believe except they hear? How can they hear except one be sent? How lovely on the mountains are the feet of him that bring good news. Why? Because we're preaching to people and we're sending out the word of God and we're telling people something and we're saying God is real. And for certain people, that's an earthly word that can marry up to a heavenly word that God has spoken, and suddenly it doesn't matter where they've been living, where they've come from, where they're at, something connects to that, and they say, that's a reality to me, because you've connected those two word of God's. You understand? And this is the importance of us as believers. We are looking to witness. We are looking to bring the word of God alive in people's hearts. It's not going to be in everybody's hearts. It's only going to be in the hearts of those of whom it's spoken of in eternity. And it's that commandment has gone forth and it's waiting for an earthly word to connect to that heavenly word and say, this is more real than my starvation. This is more real than my desperate need. This is something that I can do and put into action in my life. But if we're not going out and we're not being our witness and we're not doing the things that God is directing us to do and not speaking at the times when God is directing us to speak, that earthly word never comes out and never connects to that spiritual word. You understand what I'm saying? Okay? We are called, just like Elijah was called, to be the voice of God. We can say many things, but if we can say the things that connect to the spiritual, we'll change realities. Okay? Because the commandment has already gone out. It's as real. I told you about the speed of light, didn't I? I'm going to remind you about the speed of light. The speed of light is amazing. Okay? The faster you travel, the more time slows down for you. Okay? That's relativity. So if you could travel at, I think, 2/3 of the speed of light, you could get to Mars in a couple of weeks. Okay? If you could travel at the speed of light, then your travel would be instantaneous. You would not experience time traveling from Earth to Mars if you travel at the speed of light. Everyone make sense? No, it doesn't make sense. Okay. So the sun is how many? 83 million miles away? Takes about 6 minutes? I can't remember. I didn't put this in my notes. It takes a few minutes for the sun, for a piece of light emitted from the sun to travel to Earth and for it to warm our face. Okay? So the light that you feel, the sun ray that you feel warming your face here on Earth, left the sun 8 minutes ago, as far as you're concerned. But as far as that sun ray is concerned, there is no gap in time between when it's emitted and when it hits your face. It's instant. But we, living in time, have to wait for it to arrive. So when the word of God is spoken, it's instantly fulfilled as far as the word of God is concerned. But we're living in time and we just have to wait for it to travel to the right moment. We may wait seconds. We may wait years. But as far as the word of God is concerned, no time happens between when God speaks it and when it happens. We're the ones that experience time. Okay? So when God says, I've commanded a widow woman to feed you, Elijah had to travel. He had to find the widow woman. He had to have this conversation before that word became apparent. But when God said, I've commanded a widow woman to feed you, that was it. It had already happened as far as God was concerned. It was just waiting for the right conditions for it to loop in, to connect to something that's happening on the earth. So go in faith, because anything that God has said about you has already happened in the mind of God. There's no difference between when God says it and when it happens. No time is lost. We just have to wait because we're living in time. But God's not living in time. Okay? Now, I've confused a whole lot of you. Maybe one day I'll be able to explain it nice and clearly with a few little diagrams. But what I want to say is that's the sureness of the word of God coming forth. Fear not. Go and do as thou hast said, but first make me a little cake, bring it to me, and afterwards, for thus saith the Lord, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail, until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the house. And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah, and she and he and her house did eat many days. So there's an interesting phrase there, because now we're turning from saying the widow woman who has a son, but now she has a house. She has an establishment. She has servants. She has maybe other members of the family who are relying on her. Okay? And the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord which he spake by Elijah. And that word of the Lord connected to the word of the Lord that God spake of the woman, I have commanded you to feed this man. And in feeding the prophet, she brought a blessing on her and her son and all those around her, which is really interesting because of the commandment of God. So what has God commanded you to do that seems like it's too hard in the moment, that seems like it's stretching you beyond the resources that you have, that's asking for everything and a little bit more to the point where your family's going to die if you follow this? Yeah? But you hear the word and you're like, this is the right thing to do because God has commanded me this. And you connect into that eternal. Now, there's a very interesting word here. And it came to pass, verse 17. And I don't know exactly what this means, but I'm going to bring out some of these words to you. It came to pass after these things that the son of the woman, the mistress of the house, fell sick, and his sickness was so sore that was no breath left in him. And she said unto him, what have I to do? She said unto Elijah, what have I to do with thee, O man of God? Art thou come unto me to call my sin to remembrance and to slay my son? But let's have a look for a moment at that word mistress. Okay, the mistress of the house. That word only appears in the Bible four times. Okay, and every time it appears in the Bible, it has to do with witchcraft. Okay, so in Nahum chapter 3, verse 4. Because of the multitude of the whoredoms of the well-favored harlot, the mistress of witchcrafts that selleth nations through a whoredom and families through her witchcraft. That's one place where it appears. And then one other verse where it's translated as hath. Okay? So when you hear the word hath, it's the same word as mistress. This is in 1 Samuel 28:7. Then said Saul unto his servant, seek me a woman that hath a familiar spirit, that I may go unto her and inquire of her. And his servant said unto him, behold, there is a woman that hath a familiar spirit at Endor. So this is where it gets really interesting, because we're not talking about the mistress of the house as in the master and the mistress of the house. There are other words that describe that, such as Sarah, go back to your mistress, okay? But it makes me wonder, what was her faith? What was her belief system? What was she actually doing when Elijah was coming and feeding there? And why was it that the king couldn't find him? Because he said he sent into all the countries round about, took oaths of the king, that Elijah wasn't there. Could it have been that God sent him to the house of a person who was a witch to live there? Or had dabblings in that? I don't know. You know, oh, the prophet, we'll just pass her by. She's off into some wacky stuff. You'll never find a prophet of the Lord in there. I'm not saying go and find a witch and, you know, spend time with them, but I'm saying that's quite something to think about, that the only other times that word appears in the Bible, the woman, the mistress of the house, okay, is when someone who is practicing witchcraft, especially when it says, what have I to do with thee, O thou man of God, art thou come to me to call my sin to remembrance and to slay my son? What was her sin that she was so worried about that she thought that God would think it appropriate to slay her son to punish her for the sin? Okay? I'm going to read you something now. This is from Andy Wilson, who's been through a lot, but is still serving God. Okay? He has a son, Joshua. They're not married, they're living together. And he wrote me a message, please keep Joshua's son, Nicola, in your prayers. She has quit witchcraft and is beginning to believe in the Lord. This is July 19th. I've spoken to her a couple of times since they've been together. However, you could feel the resistance. But the last week I've spoken to her again a couple of times. She's beginning to believe, whereas previously she didn't believe at all, just in the witchcraft nonsense. God is moving on her, so please keep her in your prayers. She was brought up Catholic, loosely speaking, but instead God into witchcraft. So please also pray for me when speaking to her, because I am the only one here able to, and protection for me from the spirits, as the past couple of days since I spoke to her, I've been under real attack, suicidal thoughts, depression, all sorts. It's been very difficult. However, today has been better, though I did go around and speak to Joshua and her this evening about the Lord, which was again pretty encouraging what I heard, and also how she now reacts to the word compared to previously. Okay? Don't ever write anyone off, right? Don't ever write any situation off. It says, when I first heard about Joshua's girlfriend, it hurt me that he could do that. But somehow I decided within myself just to show a kindness and love instead of judgment. She showed respect. And she's a nice girl. And then July 24th. Just a quick update on Joshua's girlfriend. She's seeking the Lord now, so please pray for the Holy Spirit to move on her. She is coming around today and she's bringing all her witchcraft books to burn in our burn bin. Isn't he amazing? And would you believe her surname, she's Polish, I understand, actually means a devil. You couldn't make this up. Okay. And then August 2nd, he said, just to let you know that Nicola gave her life to the Lord about a week and a half ago. I warned her at the time that at some point she would be tested, because every son and daughter that comes to God must first be tested, and sure enough, the testing came. They were here a few days ago and she was crying her eyes out, but we encouraged her and prayed with her, and I kept sending her encouraging messages, and praise his mighty name, she did hang in there, and after a whole day and night of it, she cried out for help to the Lord, and she said it went away, and she felt a lovely peace. Then last night we got together, Tessa, Joshua, Nicola, and myself, spent some time singing, reading the word, and laid hands on her and prayed. And as we prayed, the Lord moved on her. Now Monday, she's getting baptized. I really believe she's a true believer after what I've witnessed over the time. She got so desperate for the Lord, it was difficult to see, but also beautiful at the same time to see someone so desperate and suffer so hard and still stand her ground. It's been mind-blowing and amazing. Well, I've been kind of busy, so I didn't reply to him. So he sent me a message on Monday. He said, well, I thought it was a wonderful thing worth celebrating, from literal witchcraft and spells to zero desire and the Lord to know the Lord, to full repentance and commitment to Him. What an amazing testimony. So I was like, thank you for sharing. It's a wonderful testimony. Are you baptizing her? Or should I say, did you baptize her, given it's the time it is on Monday now? Already did this morning. She's so happy in giving everything. She's even working on her clothes. She wants to have everything right with the Lord. It's amazing. So, and that just triggered when thinking about that word, the woman, the mistress of the house, the sin that she thought God would bring judgment on her son. And the love that we should have for each other, because sometimes we do get judgmental. Wow, they shouldn't have done this. They brought this on themselves. If only they'd worked this way. If only they'd done that. Why can't they be sensible? You know what it reminds me of? Kids in the playground. And that's the attitude we have sometimes. Kids in the playground. Why are you doing this? Why are you doing that? I'm not going to help you. You fix it yourself. You made the problem. But that wasn't, praise God, that wasn't Andy's attitude to our sister Nicola. We'll keep them in prayer. And it wasn't Elijah's attitude to the widow woman. And he said to her, give me thy son. And he took him out of her bosom, carried him up to a loft where he abode, and laid him upon his own bed. And he cried unto the Lord and said, O Lord, my God, why hast thou also brought evil upon the widow with whom I sojourned by slaying her son? I don't know if she was into witchcraft. That word widow is sometimes used in the Bible to mean somebody who's sinned and has a child without a husband or lives in desolation. The word widow is also to do with desolation. We don't know what her background was. We just know that she felt that God had brought judgment because of her sin. And Elijah's response was, I'm going to do everything in my power to fix this. I'm going to take this to God. I'm going to pray. And he said, he cried unto God, why has you brought evil on this widow with whom I sojourned by slaying her son? And he stretched himself upon the child three times and cried unto the Lord and said, O Lord, my God, I pray thee that this child's soul come to him again. And we know the desperation still of widows in that time, that the hope of a widow would be in her son, to be able to provide for her in old age. Okay? Stretched himself on the child three times and cried unto the Lord and said, O Lord, my God, I pray thee, let this child's soul come into him again. And the Lord heard the voice of Elijah, and the soul of the child came to him again, and he revived. And Elijah took the child and brought him down out of the chamber to the house, delivered him to his mother, and Elijah said, see, thy son liveth. And interesting now. And the woman said to Elijah, now by this I know that thou art a man of God, and that the word of the Lord in thy mouth is truth. It's an interesting phrase. Some people take a lot of convincing. Not convinced 100% of the way by the oil and by the flour and by the provision, but now by this she was convinced. Let us not take that much convincing. No, let us not take that much convincing. But if we do, it's okay. Remember Thomas. I'm not going to believe. Listen, I put my fingers in the holes, put my hand in his side. Okay? We're all created differently. All right? Some of us are like Peter. Oh, I believe anything. I believe, Lord, call me to walk on the water. Oh, come on then. All right? As I said before, he wasn't thinking very much, because if I was the devil and I was walking on the water, and Peter said, hey, call me to come on the water, I'll come. I'll be like, yeah, let's watch Peter drown. Yeah, come on, Peter. Let's watch you sink like a stone. All right? So there's not much brain power involved in that line of thought and line of decision. There's a lot of faith, but then how quickly that faith turns into, I'm sinking, save me, Lord. But Peter's there. And then there's Thomas. Doesn't believe. I have to see it with my own eyes before I believe it. And God says, you know what, Thomas? Ye of little faith. I wish you had big faith. But if I have to come to you and challenge you on that and like, hey, come on, Thomas, fingers. Come on, Thomas, hand. Here it is. Go for it, Thomas. Okay? And if I have to do that to convince you and to bring you in, I will do that. As Brother Godwin Chasindi, God bless him, in Zimbabwe said, it is a shame to the shepherd if the sheep get lost. It's not a shame to the sheep because they're stupid sheep. Lord, may I be one of your stupid sheep, right? That you are taken care of. So whichever way you do this, whichever way you approach this, don't despise people. Oh, I saw Jesus and I believe straight away, not like Thomas. It's like, no, that's not the way we should be. We should be, there's a believer who's struggling with their own set of issues towards God the best they can. Okay? And I believe the widow of Zareth will be in the new, you know, she'll have eternal life. We don't know her background. We don't know much. We don't know what her sin was. We don't know if she was in witchcraft. We don't know any of these details. We can read little things in the Bible and think, that's really interesting. Only mentioned 4 times and each time to do with witchcraft. But that's where God sent Elijah. And that's where God sent his word beforehand to say, I've commanded. So tonight, I challenge you. What has God commanded you to do? How will you receive that commandment when someone says something and it strikes you that this is the thing that I should do, even when it calls you to do something that's beyond your power to do? How will you handle the blessings and the loss that come along with that? How will we be people of faith? And I hope that's a blessing. And that's all I got for tonight. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your goodness and your love. We thank you for your blessings. Thank you for the examples that you put before us of Elijah and the woman, the widow of Zareth, that you would help us to be people of faith as they were people of faith and to overcome our own struggles and our own looking around us at the situation to believe in your promise that you never call us to do something that's harder than we're able to bear, that you're going to provide the barrel of meal that doesn't empty and the cruse of oil that doesn't run dry. You're going to touch us with your heavenly commandments that we could see what we have in store, not by our sight, but by our connection to the faith that you give us. Strengthen us in all the things that we're going through. Lord, protect us. Thank you for protection on Elisha and your healing of Brother Greg. Thank you for Andy and Josh and Nicola in England. Bless them and strengthen them. And Lord, may we be lights serving you wherever we go, calling others. If there's any word that you've spoken of them to bring them to your light, may we be the voice in their life that just causes that connection, that echo from heaven. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, what are we going to sing? That's a good one. Create in me a clean heart. Create in me Been living in a wrong spirit, where you haven't been living in the fullness that God's given you to live in. You recognize, I'm dirty, clean me, wash me, Lord. It's a good thing to ask Him to do that. There are many ways, you know, like we say, that word travels through heaven. That word has to be met with a response on earth. You know, Brother Branham said, you raise your hand, you're breaking the law of gravity. You know, you have to do something here. You have to be baptized. You have to say, me, Lord. You have to say, yes, Lord. You have to say, like the thief dying on the cross, who recognized something, and the word of God traveling through time dropped down at that point because of what he saw around. The word of God that was spoken of him was manifest. And he said, Lord, remember me. So whether you want to stand, if you want to come forward for prayer, if you just want to pray, you raise your hand to say, clean me, Lord. Restore the right spirit in me. Let your Holy Spirit have control. It'd be a good thing to do that. Going to pray, and if you want to join me in the prayer by standing, by raising your hand, by saying amen, whatever it is, do something to connect with the spiritual at this time. Because if you just sit there like a bump on the log, you'll just carry on sitting there like a bump on the log till God knocks your heart down even harder, right? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, do create in us a clean heart. Do clean us from our sins. Do help us recognize where we're dirty. Lord, I pray for myself. My attitude hasn't been right in the past few weeks. I pray that you'd help me to overcome, clean me from the filth of the flesh that hangs on to me. And just, I know I'm not where I should be. Don't let your Holy Spirit depart from me, but may the fullness of your joy come. The fullness of the salvation, the joy of my salvation, Lord, come, because I'm pleasing to you and I'm clean before you. And the things that have troubled me, you've washed me with the water of your word and you've washed me in your blood. May I live before you right, Lord. Whatever it is, may I be a voice to those who need a voice. May I be a hearer to those who need a hearing, and may I be a provider for those who need your provision. May I know what you've commanded and do it. Give us strength to do that. Pray for everyone else who'd raise their hand or stand on their feet, however they'd manifest it, Lord, that you would touch each and every heart here, willing to be cleaned and to be closer to you. That we could have a part, Lord, in your great story with the saints of old. That you'd say to us, well done, my child. Whether they're here or online, wherever it is, speak to us, Lord, and let us obey. Command us and let us connect to your commandments. Create in us a clean heart. Amen. God bless you all. Not always.